Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
Thank you. My topic this morning is a critical shift, the critical shift, critical shifts. It's not just one in particular, and it certainly could be one in particular, and then one, all of the others falling under it. I want to give you a definition of each of those words, critical and shift. Critical is a decisive, is of decisive importance. And sometimes it can involve risk or suspense, and the risk can be a venture and an exposure to a chance of loss or injury. So critical, but mainly of decisive importance. And then a shift is from move from one place to another, from one, more apropos to the topic, from one position to another. And I'm not just speaking about physical positions there. It's like saying there is another point of view. There is another point of view. So three things in my purpose this morning. One critical shift, of course, is knowing who and what we really are as spiritual beings, and knowing that we're never separate, and that everything we do here at the center is about healing that sense of separation and uncovering and discovering that who we are is love at the core. But I want to look at, like, in our everyday life underneath all that. So a critical shift for us is not to always want to be right. And it's not to have a closed mind, to have an open mind that there are other ways of seeing and looking at things. Number two, shifts that can make a difference in the quality of our life. And I'm going to go through quite a number of them. And some of you have heard them before. And it's like, so have I moved in this area since I last heard about these things? Have I actually moved in this area? And number three, getting our shift together. Getting our shift together. So, wanting to be right and having a closed mind is one of the most undermining things in all areas of our life. In relationship, boy, I'm telling you, is that ever a big one? Always wanting to be right. In health and healing, sometimes we don't want to just change our lifestyle or the way we are, and we may be expressing not wonderful health and vitality. So it's, are we willing to be open-minded to some complementary things that could assist and support us? And it certainly helps us in the area of prosperity. If we have a closed mind about that things aren't working, that I'll never get whatever it is that you want to achieve or have in your life, we need to have those kinds of shifts and not have a closed mind and not be right about it. Sometimes it's things happen in our life and we say, yeah, I thought that was going to happen. And that's a form of being right, even though we maybe didn't think too much ahead of time that I'm right about this. But it can be very subtle at times. Sometimes people are right about their religion, and sometimes people are right about their spirituality. It's almost like holding it, mine is the only way. Sometimes people actually ask us, what religion are you? Or sometimes people may ask about the center. Some of you may have even had this happen, and sometimes people will ask, well, what What religion is it? Or what do they believe? Many people are really interested in what we're teaching now, and that's very new, the last 5-10 years. But a lot of people that may be ingrained in their own religiosity are asking you to see how you differ, and in their mind maybe to make you wrong, or maybe even get argumentative about it. So, you know, it's a huge critical shift to be open to what people believe. And our way isn't the only way, and it isn't the right way, but it is a way that works, you know? A Course in Miracles teaches us to have a really great shift, and I'm going to use the whiteboard for a moment here. And I've said this before, and those of you who have taken A Course in Miracles know that this is kind of key to it, but again, if you have heard this before, how have you shifted in this? Have you grown in this awareness? So what the world teaches us is what? That we are a body. Teaches us that we're a body, you see? We cannot become a spiritual being, for matter and mind don't transform to spirit. It's the reverse. Spirit produces mind and matter out of itself. But the world teaches us that we're a body. The world teaches us that we're separate. And the world teaches us that we're guilty. So what does A Course in Miracles teach us? And the big miracle, of course, is to have that shift of forgiveness and to realize, to remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence and to the awareness that we are love at the core. A Course in Miracles teaches us that we are spirit. It teaches us that we are one. Teaches oneness. And it teaches that we are innocent. So just, you know, kind of looking at that right now is... think about how much have you grown? Have you grown in this shift here about knowing that you are spirit, reminding yourself that you are spirit, remembering that you are spirit, that there is no separation between us? That's real easy with people we love. But how about people that we are a vexation to our spirit? How about that? And then that we're innocent. You know, are we willing to let go of guilt, blame, and shame? You know, I always, sometime throughout the service, I say something about, you know, that we're thankful for being together in a spiritual community, and that we teach at the center here healthy spirituality with no guilt, blame, or shame. So how are we with that now? Have we grown with that? Have we stopped blaming others? Have we stopped feeling guilty? Have we done some work around any of that if we're ingrained in it? And sometimes it takes a heck of a lot more than coming to a Sunday service. Sometimes it takes immersing yourselves in very, very intense workshops. Sometimes that's what it takes. So here's the thing. What kind of results come from having a closed mind or always being right? Certainly not happiness, certainly not joy, and certainly not satisfaction. It's certainly not the quality of life that we would want. So, you know, that's a key thing. One of the things that I always remember about in sales, I was a salesperson before I was a minister. And you know what? We're all salespeople. We're all selling our own ideas. We're all selling our idea of ourselves. But one of the things that is very, very powerful is to really listen to people, and if you're in agreement with anything, acknowledge that. Say, it's just like you were saying. See, that's making them right. Even if in the conversation there's some things that maybe you're going to agree to disagree on, but we can always find something that acknowledges them in that particular way. It's a very powerful way of being. So this weekend is Thanksgiving, so one of the huge shifts, of course, and thank you for those beautiful songs, Paul. You know, you always line it up with what's happening here at the center, and we appreciate it. But two critical shifts are thankfulness, gratefulness, and appreciation. I put thankfulness, gratefulness kind of together. Have you grown in these areas? Have you grown? How have you grown in these areas? You know, after my one of my near-death experiences from the automobile collision many years ago, I bought a grandfather clock that has beautiful chimes. It's got four different kinds of chimes that I can set at. And the reason I bought a grandfather clock is personally for me to remind myself that I had another chance at life and to be grateful. And you know, whenever, now the clock is so part of our life that I don't even hear it, and I have to remember to turn it silent when we have overnight guests, because it does gong kind of through the whole home, you know. But it's kind of just always in the background. But when I'm really aware of it, you know, I just, you know, kind of pause for a moment and remind myself why I bought that clock. And hopefully people don't have to have near-death experiences to get in touch with, I've got a second chance at life. We have life in front of us, so how are we going to be with that? Gratefulness and is like faith. It's like a muscle. The more we use it, the stronger it gets. And properly understood, gratefulness is a creative force. That's a powerful agent for change and growth and for prosperity. For prosperity. Few ideas rival its ability to heal and to prosper and to transform our experiences and the quality of our life. We cannot feel grateful and feel alienated at the same time. Gratefulness dispels the idea that we don't have enough. It dispels the idea that it's never enough, whatever it is that we're addressing, and it dispels the idea that we are not enough. You see, real prosperity is an appreciation of enoughness. Enoughness. And having that consciousness about it. So, you know, whenever an event happens, we always have a choice of where to go with it. We can rise up and go forward, or we can feel devastated in life. Guess which one gives us a more quality of life? Of course, gratefulness. No matter what. You know, sometimes we think of gratefulness and thankfulness as only about, you know, the things that were, you know, yay, good things in life. Are we willing to actually have a critical shift this way and be grateful for everything? Everything that has happened to you and in your life has brought you to this place in your life. And I'm not just saying this place with your bums in the seats, but that's true too. But you know, it's molded you to who you really are. When I look at my own life and I think of some of the challenges that I've had in my life, you know, my mom died. I was sexually abused when I was young, not by my immediate family, but by a cousin, an older cousin that I called an uncle. And my mother died when I was 16, my dad when I was 19. I've lived a long time without my parents. You know, and you know, I had several near-death experiences, but the major one many of you have heard about. You know, so I look at those things and I think they have made me who I am. And being shamed in school about sit down, you'll never be able to read. You know, that kept me locked in there for a few years. But then I broke out of it. And now, because of that, I have empathy for anyone who I feel the vibration of fear coming up. Because I resonate with that. I've been through that. So whatever you have been through, you have something to, I want to say fall back on, but it's like you have something to say, ah, I've been there. I know what that's like. You can come from a place of empathy with other people. And that's absolutely huge. Now, appreciation, I've done whole topics on appreciation. If you've heard them before, I specifically am asking you, have you grown in areas of appreciation? Have you grown in appreciating, first of all, yourself? Large S-E-L-F, yourself. Have you grown in appreciating others? Not only silently within yourself, you know, like you know, you know you like this person and you know why you like them and you appreciate them, but actually speaking it and letting them know, making a phone call, sending a note or a card, taking time to, you know, maybe meet with them, go out for lunch or tea. I had the privilege of taking out four ministers for lunch on Wednesday. And, you know, it was just so wonderful to do that. And they were so surprised that I was treating them, you know, and they appreciated that. And, you know, I wanted to let them know, some of them knew and some of them didn't know, that I was going to be retiring from the center and that it's our 25th birthday next year and like that, you know. And I'm going to Vancouver tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to meet with three other ministers. I'm going to stay one day with each of them. And, you know, let them know how much we appreciate each other and we appreciate that we're doing the work that we're doing, like that. Do we give words of encouragement? Words of encouragement. Do we give heartfelt, true compliments? I'm not saying flattery. I'm saying heartfelt, true compliments. You know, I bet every one of you has someone in your life that you've never heard an unkind word from, or you've never heard them talk about anyone. I bet every one of you know someone. Have you told them that you've noticed that about them and you appreciate that about them? Is there anyone here that doesn't like to get appreciated or acknowledged? That's right. Endorse what they are about. Assume that they will succeed in whatever it is. And not only those close to you. Look for places to appreciate. You know, I was at buying something and the phone was ringing at a store. And the woman answered the phone and she said, "Would you hold on for a moment, please?" And put the phone down. And she, you know, served me. And I thanked her for that. How many times has a phone rang and they stand on the phone? You know? So I appreciated that. The other day we had a serviceman out for our electric furnace that was blowing cold air. And I thought, gee, you know, we're going to need that heat on. So we got a furnace man to come out, and he was a Polish man, and I both my parents were Polish. So we got chatting a little bit and like that, and had a delightful chat about different things, about health and healing and how his wife didn't have to wait. I can't remember how long they said here that she had to wait for an operation. They flew to Poland, and in 1 week she had it. Interesting. Anyway, I digress a little bit here. But then I noticed that the next morning I came downstairs, and it was hot downstairs. The furnace had been on all night and blowing all night instead of cooling down. So I phoned them back and I asked for the service manager. And I said, "You know, Walter, who you sent is a wonderful man. You're so fortunate to have him." He said, We know, but thank you for telling us." And you know what? He told Walter, because Walter came back. And there was one little thing, and he was down there for a while. And do you know furnace repairmen charge $110 an hour now? That's what they charge. He was down there. It was a service call. He had to come across town. And he walked out the door. He says, "No charge today." Hey, you know, like, I'm not saying that that's connected with the acknowledgement, but maybe. Who knows? But the company's very good, you see. You know, a waitress, you say you're going to share a salad. How many of them plump a big salad in front of you? how many of them separate them into two bowls? Do you ever thank her? You know, they get so little acknowledgement. I said to John when we started to go out together, not when we started to go out together, because I always paid my own way until we were a couple, but I said, you tip rather largely. And he said, my stepdaughter was a waitress. That's all I had to know. So, you know, maybe somebody's given you exceptional service, and instead of tipping 10 or 15%, you give them a real big one that time. What do you think you've done to their day? What do you think you've done to their day? You've made their day, their week, and their month. All right, so appreciation. How are you when people appreciate you? Do you fluff it off? Oh, well, that's nothing. Or I had a couple of my bowling team over for tea the other day. I'm filling up my days because John's away for 10 days in England. They're scattering his brother's ashes. And 10 days seemed like a long time to me. So, you know, I had a couple of my bowling team over, and they came and brought me a plant this big, and I, oh my gosh, you know. That's kind of, they're showing me appreciation to me. Because I'll tell you, I brought aliveness to the bowling league on Tuesday morning. I mean, my goodness, they hardly were talking to each other. So when anybody gets two strikes in a row, it's called doubles. I yell through the whole bowling alley. I say, what's her name got it the other day? Carol. Carol got a double! Yay! So, you know, I've been doing this for 3 years now, and now everybody does it. Now, you know, you get a double or a triple. That's pretty nice. So, you know, before it was like you get one and your team would go, way to go, good, you know. But nobody else would say anything. So, are you letting your light shine a little bit brighter is what I'm saying. Are you shifting a little bit? Lots of ways that we can shift. Are we willing to shift from being a fault finder to a love finder? You know, sometimes people say, well, the honeymoon's over. Well, I hope the honeymoon never is over for me. You know, here's the thing. When the honeymoon is over, and I'm not just speaking about married people, it's people in relationship. You know what? It's like you hold them as a fantastic person. And you acknowledge them, and you keep telling them what you like about them and what you love about them. Wow. One day I sat down with John, and I said, I want to tell you all the things. I know that you know that I love you, but I want to tell you all the things I like about you. And, you know, he just sat there, and his mouth just went from ear to ear. You know, like, there's things that we like about people, and we're not... Honeymoon is over when we start looking through the eyes of fear instead of the eyes of love. We notice little flaws. The honeymoon's over. The voice of judgment gets a little bit louder. The things that we once saw as good kind of diminish. They trickle and they kind of vanish. We kind of complain either to ourselves or to the person. You've changed. They've changed. Yeah. They grow apart. They grow angry. Get disappointed. Retreat to their aloneness and self-protection. Not a good place to be in relationship. Not a good place. Critical shift. Forgiveness. You can never go wrong with forgiveness. So most of you know who forgiveness is for. Who is forgiveness for? Yourself. The person that's doing the forgiveness. Forgive that so-and-so, I'll never forgive that so-and-so. We think we're doing them a favor. They're going on about their life, they're not even thinking about us. Harboring non-forgiveness is one of the greatest things that keeps us in debt. Mm-hmm. A genuine apology. I can't speak enough about that one. It's got to be genuine, And it's not about living your life like, I'm sorry, I'm alive. No. But when you know that an apology is called for, apologize. One of the greatest shifts that I had in my big blended family when I was married to Norman, we were married for 31 years, we blended together 9 children. One of the greatest shifts was when I apologized to my stepkids for some things that I didn't handle exactly properly. Or I might have been too harsh. And I said I was sorry. A lot of times parents don't apologize. And in blended families, that's huge. Huge. Norman was not a great stepfather when we first got married. He was not a great stepfather. I mean, I seldom talk like that about Norman. But hey, there were a few pointers that he had that weren't so great. And I'll tell you, when he smartened up and saw the magnificence of my children too, not only his, and he apologized to each one of them for some of the things that he did and said. Like he'd get mad. I'll just give you one example. His kids could shower as long as they wanted. If my kids were in the shower longer than 2 minutes, bad news. One time he even went and turned the water off. So, you know, little things like that. Just little things that there was a difference, a distinction, the way he was with his children and the way he was with mine. And there were twice I was packing to leave. Just because of that, I just couldn't take it anymore. But it takes a big person to realize that you've made some mistakes and to go to the person and apologize truthfully, genuinely. A huge shift is shifting from any complaint that we have and not complaining to other people who can't do something about it. You go to the person who can do something about it. And instead of the complaint, what's a complaint? There's something, a request probably, that is not being made or not being heard. So are we willing to shift from complaining to truthfully speaking the request? Judgmentalism, being judgmental. I don't think there's anybody here that's judgmental. I don't think so. But are we accepting, you know, like we don't have to condone, but are we accepting of the, are we accepting of what's so? Are we accepting of that this is where they are in their stage of unfoldment? This is where you are in your stage of unfoldment. You're judging them. No? Are we willing to go on a criticism fast for at least 30 days? About anyone, anything, anybody. Think of someone that you have criticized maybe recently and see where you have failed to appreciate and acknowledge them in some way or other. In some way or other. You know, we tell our children that we love them. Do we ever just sit down with them and just, it's not about why we love them. We love them. But have we ever said, these are some of the qualities that I love about you. These are some of the things that you do that I love about you. You know, like, and they can be young. Never mind waiting until they're teenagers or grown up and adults. Of Course in Miracles, one of the lessons is, I will judge nothing that occurs today. I will judge nothing that occurs today. So, you know, there's many others. Are we going to shift from the ignorance of who we are to awareness? Are we going to shift if we're holding ourselves or somebody else as unable to holding them as able? Are we going to shift from, oh, I can't make a difference there, to, yes, you can make a difference there? Are we willing to shift from scarcity to realizing that this is an abundant universe? It's actually quite opulent. And willing to let go of any baggage that we have around that we're not good enough. And letting go of any baggage that we have about not being receptive to our good. Are we willing to let go of victimhood? Oh, yeah. Yeah. A long time ago, I said, there are no victims, only volunteers. And I heard somebody on TV say that one time. True. It's like, what are we volunteering for? What are we volunteering for? And of course, I've addressed this so many times. When we say we have a problem, shift the conversation and language to a challenge, and then look at that and say, there's a project here. There's a project here. See? Love at the Core, I was doing this, and I have done this before on Sunday, but this is bears repeating. Just remember, when I repeat something, it's because it's very, very important. It's not that I've run out of things to talk about. If when we take a stand for love, there's things in our consciousness, positive, negative, positive, negative. We take a stand for love, what's going to happen is things that aren't in alignment with love is going to surface for us to handle. Sometimes I say in Love at the Core, hey, you're going to have a great time here, and a few things are going to surface for you in the 10 weeks that you're here. Anything that is unlike love is going to start surfacing because you've taken a stand by registering and paying for being in a course about love. You take a stand for health, guess what's going to show up? Everything that you're doing and eating and not doing is going to be in your face because you've taken a stand for health. You take a stand for prosperity, and that's not only about money, it's to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of your life. You take a stand for that, everything that's going to show up is everything that is not in alignment with prosperity. Anything you're out of integrity with, any bill you haven't paid, any speeding ticket you haven't paid, or anything like that. It's going to show up. And it's like when it shows up, are we going to go, oh my God? No, be grateful. This is the universe supporting you in cleaning things up, in handling things. So it's very powerful. So all these things that I've mentioned are proactive approaches to expand our consciousness and expand our ability to receive. Is there anyone here that wouldn't want to be more prosperous and abundant than they already are? I mean, we are. Relatively speaking to the rest of the world, I think every one of us is in the top 3%. Like that, but it's like, you know, having these shifts, it's something like this. Refuse to be someone who behaves like everyone else if they're behaving not in alignment with principle, not in alignment with the kind of quality of life that you'd want. And you know what? Sometimes when we have these huge shifts, people will say, well, you're kind of a changed person. And some people like the change, and some people do not like the change. The people that do not like the change can no longer manipulate or control you. And they will scream like banshees. Maybe not out loud, but you'll hear about it. So let's get our shift together. I'm just going to go through a few things. Define ourselves and act on what we are for than rather than what we are against. Mother Teresa, when she was alive, she was invited to speak at an anti-war rally, and she declined. She said, if you want me to speak for peace, I'll do it, but to speak against war is just another form of war. Hey, that's pretty good, hey? Always remember that people, including you and I, incarnate in different time cycles when our personal soul needs a pattern that will indicate an opportunity for the unfoldment of our consciousness. So you are here now on this planet, in this country, in this city, in the job, in the relationship, in the body you're in, because that's the next step of your unfoldment of consciousness. Hold it this way, that we're in, somebody here that I had as a speaker, Eunice from Nanaimo, she talked about us being godlings. We're in God school. We're agents in a cosmic process. Now here's one other little clue. If we find ourselves in a difficult relationship, be assured that the situation is part of this unfoldment of consciousness. Learn to deal with it lovingly. Learn to be acknowledge that they're part of your learning. Also, that you may be projecting something, and you need to also look at that. And also be open to allowing the other's highest good for themselves without holding ourselves back. The Dalai Lama said this one time, "The purpose of life is to increase the warm heart." To increase the warm heart. So here's another question. Is this a true representation of who I am and what I'm up to when we're going in life and doing things and being a certain way? I like this affirmation that Stuart Wilde had in one of his books, The Four, so I'm going to read it to you. He says, start each day with this affirmation. What I am is eternal. What I am is immortal, universal, and infinite. What I am is beauty and strength. And this is my day, and all that I attract is for my highest evolution and growth. So I'm asking you to come out of hiding, come out of the closet, come out in your divine self, have it whatever shift it takes to do that, experience your magnificence, stand in and affirm principles of new thought for yourself and for the world. Actually, I'm going to ask you to inflict new thought and metaphysics into your family, into your careers, and in all areas. You know, live the principles that we teach. Do it empoweringly. Do not do it as though I know something that you should know. You should come to the center. It will really help you. That's not the way to ask people to come. The best way is to let them know some of your shifts, some of the places you've grown, and then say, and where I've learned that, or how, what has helped me is going to the center, or taking workshops there, or whatever. So I want to close with this statement. Some people think that there is a power in the universe and we can use it. That's erroneous. It's like we are an individualization of that power, and it uses us. It uses us. So George Bernard Shaw said this, life is no brief candle for me. It is a sort of splendid torch I've got hold of for just a moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it over to future generations. I leave you with this question. Is your life a torch? Is it a candle? Or is it a smoldering match? Have a shift. God presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you. Before I have contribution time.